Daniel chapter 2, Mishnah 1. Okay, so now we're going to start the laws of vessels. This is the proper, you know, of this Masechta. This is the proper Kalim. These are all the laws of vessels. And what's so important was, you'll see that different kinds of vessels have different kind of laws which make them tame or not tame, and how do you purify them, etc. And you could imagine how important this was, because if you were tame and you touched a vessel, so is your vessel now tame? Could you put truma in the vessel? What was the status of this vessel? How did you purify this vessel? Almost like the laws of kashrut, you know what I'm saying, as applied to pots and pans or whatever, this is like the laws of tumah as it applied to utensils. So very, very important halachas then. To absolutely, you had to know these backwards in those days, in a sense, you know. So clay eitz, wooden vessels, clay or utensils made of leather, or clay etzem, bone, or clay zakukis, and glass. All of these utensils. Peshutain toheram, when they're flat, they're pure, meaning flat, they're just like a flat plate, right? There's nothing, no real shape to it. So they are pure, and they can't become tamer, because in that they're not yet a container. They're just a flat like piece of thing. There's got to be some container aspect to it.
A piece of wood is not a container.
Right. So it's got yeah. So we'd have to see if this by sticking on legs or whatever, we'd have to see if that makes it into a utensil, right? But if it's just like a flat plate, is what he's saying, that doesn't accept tumah. If it's got some kind of, if it's a container, any container shape, then tumah. That's when it can become tumah if it comes into contact with tumah. Nishbaru, if it's broken after it becomes tumah, taharu. That's how it was purified. So not only that, but we'll see later. It doesn't bring it over here, but they could also be brought to the mikveh. In certain circumstances, they could go to the mikveh to be purified. But certainly, if the Mishnah is bringing now that if they're broken, they become purified because they lose their container status. They're like destroyed now. It's not a container anymore. Chazav asamim kalim. If you then take the pieces and you remake it into a vessel, makablin tuma mikan velaba. Then it again becomes able to accept tuma from then and on. So how do you purify it? Break it down and remake it. If you break it down and remake it, it becomes purified. Now it can accept tuma again from then on. Klei cheres or klei neser. Now earthenware vessels, they're in a different category. To masan shave, they are the same. Earthenware vessels and neter, right? Neter was a kind of earthenware vessel. They are equal. Mistamin umetahamin ba'avir. They contract impurity and transmit impurity through the interior. Meaning, if you got like a big earthenware container, and you, let's say you held like a dead sheretz in the middle of it, but you don't even touch the container, the container becomes impure. And so too, if the container is impure and you hold in the middle there without touching it, let's say you hold some truma in the middle over there, the truma becomes tamah, even if it doesn't touch the walls of the container.
But then only earthenware containers.
So they become impure through the interior space, umatamin ba'achrosayin, and they also transmit impurity through their reverse side, meaning if there was food or liquid touching the outside of the container and it was tamah, it would also transmit from the inside out. Yeah, it's like almost like a, it's all, no, inside out, because we'll see now. Fa'einan matamnim megabayim, but they do not contract impurity through their outside. So whereas they transmit impurity from inside out, they do not contract impurity from outside in. So if you wanted to protect your food, let's say you had some truma and you wanted to protect it, what could you do? You could put it in an earthenware vessel, make sure it's nicely sealed off, and because it doesn't transmit tumah from outside in, you will have protected the whatever's inside that vessel. And again, ushvirasan hitarasan, their breaking affects their purification, meaning if you want to purify it, if it does become tamay, you smash it up and you purified it. So it brings a difference over here that earthenware netter vessels cannot be purified in a mikveh, like the other utensils we mentioned before. These have to be broken. It's the only way you can purify these vessels. You have to smash them up. If you don't smash them up, then if they're impure, you can't purify them. Okay, so very important over here. You see, if it's wood utensil, leather, and those kind of things, they have different halachas as if it's an earthenware utensil. And so you have to know, you know, if there was tamay, or you wanted to store your truma, you'd have to know, is this vessel pure or impure? And in order to know that, you'd have to know how vessels become pure or impure. If a person was a zav and he picked up his earthenware vessel, you know, you have to know, is that vessel tamei or is it pure? And then you would know if you could put truma into it or not.
So, plastic in those days.
Yeah.